We turn to the Gospel according to Mark chapter 4. This is found on page 29 in the black pew Bibles in front of you, in the back portion, page 29. And we'll read from verses 21 to 34. At this time, give your attention to God's holy and infallible word. And Jesus was saying to them, "A lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret but that it would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he was saying to them, "Take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him." And he was saying, "The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil, and he goes to bed at night, and he gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "How shall we picture the kingdom of God, or by what parable shall we present it? It's like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the soil, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade." With many such parables, he was speaking the word to them, so far as they were able to hear it. And he did not speak to them without a parable, but he was explaining everything privately to his own disciples. This ends the reading of God's holy and infallible word. May he bless it to our hearing this day. Well, we're going consecutively through the gospel according to Mark, and we've been in this section where we're looking at Jesus' parables. Those are stories that he throws alongside his teaching in order to illustrate the truth of who he is, what he's come to do, the kingdom that he is establishing in the world. And Jesus, when he gives these stories, he draws from everyday tasks or common objects. But he's using these stories to reveal spiritual truths. And in revealing spiritual truths, he is inviting you to come, to enter into his kingdom, to come into fellowship and communion with him personally, to receive and rest upon his work. But as we've seen, some don't want to hear it. And they don't want to hear these spiritual truths, and so they serve as stories then to harden people. There were these pictures that were popular when I was a kid. The technical name for them is Auto stereograms. And you say, "I don't know what that is." But if I explain it, you'll know what I'm talking about. They were illusions that were found on these wallpaper type pictures, where you had a pattern and you had to stare for it for some time, and then this 3D image would pop out at you. Are you familiar with those? Well, if people couldn't overcome that automatic coordination of depth perception, they couldn't see the 3D image pop out at them, and they would hate those pictures. They would say, "Those are stupid pictures. Why do we make such a big deal about these things?" Well, look, it's a bad illustration. But there's a point here, and this is the point. People didn't want to see the Jesus that they needed. And because of that, when he revealed who he was, they hated him for it. He wouldn't pop out to them in the 3D image that they were looking for. And really, not only did they not want the Jesus they needed, they didn't really need the Jesus that they wanted either. No, we must take the Lord Jesus Christ for who He is. And so today we're going to see four parables that are grouped together. And all of them are revealing something about Jesus and His kingdom. Jesus had much to reveal about His mission to save humanity and why He was uniquely qualified to fulfill this mission. But Jesus also, because He is gracious, He wanted to be careful. You see, His kingdom was contrary to the popular expectations of the people. And so He had to work out this fine line between, on the one hand, challenging their expectations, but simultaneously showing them something much greater than what they anticipated. Showing them not simply a nation, but life. Even today, we, the church, having come on this side, or this side of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's already come, He's already revealed Himself, He's already finished His work. Many are celebrating the resurrection today. We celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. But even today, we wrestle with how the kingdom of God is to be manifested in this world. It doesn't seem like the church has much influence or growth in America. In fact, it seems like there are many challenges to the church today. And where the church does have some degree of influence, it's often embarrassing to the rest of the church. We're often made the punchline of many jokes. And if we look around the world, the church appears to be persecuted or forced to go underground in a number of countries. We're not really sure what the manifestation of the kingdom of God is supposed to look like in the earth. And we question, is it supposed to look like this? Well, there can be much confusion about the nature of Christ's kingdom and the church's role in it. And Jesus begins to give us a glimpse into both of these questions in our text today. The questions of what is the nature of His kingdom and what is the church's role in it. The summary of our sermon is found on the back of the bulletin. Jesus gave us pictures of His kingdom to reveal who He is and what He has accomplished for those in need, including you. You must respond to Him by faith, both hearing His truth and entering into His kingdom by His grace, by His help. There are four moves as we look at each of these four parables. One of them has to say what Jesus has done, and the other one has to say you need to respond to it. And so we see that pattern back and forth. This is what Jesus has done. This is how you are to respond. This is what Jesus has done. This is how you are to respond. And that's what we're going to look at. So with that, I also hope to end with some application on this baptism that we've seen today. So with that, let's go to our first point, that Jesus came, we see in the first parable, to reveal His kingdom. Look again at verses 21 to 23. A lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret but that it would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, Jesus is asking this very simple question. It's almost a rhetorical question. Why is light brought into a house? So we can continue to keep it dark? No, that's crazy. That's a very simple question. Everyone knows the answer. Children know the answer. Right? He uses the example of a lamp. You should know that a lamp was a very common object in their day. In fact, it's one of the most common objects we find in our archaeological digs today. Lamps in this day was as common as, say, light bulbs are in America. You would put them in your house and you would use them to light up a room at night. And this parable, this response about the nature of the lamp, is in response to a concern that we find in verse 11. Was Jesus really trying to hide the truth from people? Well, no. They would perpetuate the truth being hidden because of the hardness of their heart. The truth was meant to be revealed. So what is this lamp here? A lamp is not brought to be put under a basket. First thing is we need to say is this. A lamp is used in other portions of Scripture. Parables of lamps are used in other Gospels. So we have to be careful that we don't assume that a lamp in this parable means the same thing as a similar sounding parable. We have to take the parable in its own unit. And so in this parable, we have to fix something in our translation. In fact, in most translations, it's very interesting. In Matthew and in Luke, what they say is this: do you bring a lamp in, or do you bring in a lamp? You see, the idea is the lamp is the object of the sentence. Do you bring in a lamp? Because lamps are inanimate objects. But Mark says something very strange. You almost have it here in this translation, or NASB. A lamp is not brought. But really what it says is this: does the lamp come to be put under a basket? That's a weird way of saying it. Does the lamp come? First of all, have you ever seen a lamp or a light bulb ever come anywhere? Or go anywhere? No. They're inanimate objects. But you see, this lamp is the lamp. And this lamp, Jesus is referring to Himself. He is the lamp who comes. But He does not come to be hidden. He comes actually to be put on the lampstand and to give light. Why is Jesus comparing Himself then to a lamp? He's comparing Himself to a lamp because of who He is. He is the light of the world. And because where He has come to, He's come to a very dark place. The world. Our world is defined by darkness, night, secret, hiddenness. This is our world. Why? Why do we use darkness as a way of speaking about our world? Because you know that Adam and Eve, when they sinned against God, what did they do? They tried to hide themselves. They had guilt. They had shame. They had corruption. They had brokenness. They had blemish. They had a reason to be ashamed, and therefore they had to hide this. This is our world, darkness. And if light came into our world without some kind of covering, without some kind of veil, it would expose all of that guilt and all of that corruption at once. And that would be too much for us. Jesus came concealing His full glory. That's what the Scripture reveals. He didn't come in His divine glory. He came in the glory of a servant. Today we're talking about how He came clothed in humility. Why? So that we would not be overwhelmed or blinded by His glory or destroyed by our shame, all exposed at once. Jesus came concealing His full glory. But further, this kind of arrival would prevent Jesus from completing His mission. If He came in His full glory, then how would He be able to deal with the darkness, the corruption, the guilt? You see, He came to humble Himself in the very depths of our darkness so that He could bear God's anger against our guilt and corruption. This Jesus did not just come to expose our sins. He came to deal with our sins for us. And so he comes as a concealed son. I want you to think for a minute. Children, when you want to give a gift to somebody, your brother, your sister, a friend, a parent, how do you give that gift? Do you just simply take the gift and you give it to them? Often you wrap it up first, don't you? You put wrapping paper on it, and why do you do that? You want to elevate the curiosity of your friend. Ooh, what is this? You want to elevate the anticipation. Oh, I have a gift here? Ooh, this is interesting. What could be in here? Maybe people shake it. Listen to it. You see, but there is a time to reveal your gift, isn't there? There's a time when the wrapping has to come off. Wouldn't that be crazy if you gave them a gift and it was all wrapped up and you gave it to them and thanks for the gift, and that's how we kept it for the rest of our lives? Now, the wrapping is not the gift. It's what's inside the wrapping that is the gift. You see, the gift is meant to be revealed, and Jesus came wrapped in order to be revealed at the right time and in the right way. He is the gift of God. Therefore, Jesus is not coming with the power to save us from ourselves and then keeping it a secret. Jesus was meant to be revealed. And just like when you give a gift and they unwrap that gift, what do you typically look for? A response. You watch them. Will they like what I got them? Will it make them happy? What's the reaction going to be? Sometimes you get a gag gift because you want to see them respond to the gag gift. But the point is here is that we need to respond to this gift of Jesus Christ. With the revelation of Jesus, a response is required. This gift compels us to respond in some way. Will you receive this gift, Jesus Christ? Will you find your rest in Him, your comfort in Him? And we know that Jesus expects a response because listen to what He says in verse 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him heed. Let him obey. This is no accident or mixture of metaphors. This is very interesting. Do you understand this? That hearing is the means by which you first see Jesus Christ. He's a lamp. Normally, we think of lamps as something that you see. But here He's saying, hear my teaching. We heard it earlier today, those who are in Sunday school, is that it's in the understanding that we have transforming grace in our lives. It is in the teachings of Christ that His light shines. And we see Him. It is in His words that He reveals that He is the Word of God. And in hearing Him, we get a glimpse into who He is and what He has come to do. Well, here Mark gives to us this Jesus lamp parable because Jesus must be revealed. But further, you must respond to this light. You must respond to this teaching. And so Jesus gives us a second parable to give understanding to how we are to respond. Because it's a matter of gaining or losing this gift, how you will hear. That brings me to my second point. You need to respond by hearing Him. Verses 25 and or 24 and 25 says this. Take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Some commentators disagree whether this is another parable or not, but it's interesting the way that Mark lays it out. He was saying to them, verse 21, and then verse 24, he was saying to them, verse 26, and he was saying, verse 30, and he said, you see, he's actually identifying four parables here. And what's interesting about this one is that it's an extension of the one that we just heard about, the lamp. Before he's saying, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Now he says, pay attention to what you listen to. Pay attention to what you listen to. This is the parable about a standard for measuring. And the picture here is a marketplace, maybe like a farmer's market. What was necessary was that there would be honest weights and measures. You would weigh the fruit, or you'd weigh the grain, or you'd weigh something, and then you'd pay a certain amount. We still do that today. Well, what would happen sometimes is that, you know, they would take these weights, or and they would take a heavier metal and then coat it with a less heavy metal so that it would weigh more. And that would be an unjust weight or measure. And here's the illustration that Jesus is using. He's using that picture, and this is what he's saying. Much more will be given to those who not only hear, in other words, they hear the sounds that are coming out of my mouth, and not only hear, but they meditate on what they hear. They actually listen. They're motivated to apply this word to their lives. We get a picture of this, actually, in Psalm 1. Psalm 1 says that, how blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord. In his law, he meditates day and night. What's that man like? Well, he's like a tree that's firmly planted by streams of water, and it yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. See, the one who delights in the law of the Lord, who thinks about it, who meditates on it, who ruminates, who goes over in his head, that one is like a fruitful tree. Jesus is not simply giving lectures to people in these parables, nor is he seeking to confuse his hearers. Jesus is making a forgiven and fruitful family. He's actually building a community. He's calling his followers into a listening church. But there is both blessing and curse that's pronounced here. There's another way to summarize what he's saying in these verses in worldly terms, a worldly proverb, if you will. What you put into it is what you get out of it. You've heard that before. Hey, you know, you've got a class, an independent study. Well, what you put into that class is what you're going to actually take out of it. It's what you're going to get out of it. And there's a spiritual application here. These parables are meant to sift. Now, there were large crowds coming. These parables were meant to sift that large crowd from those who were coming to Jesus in order to gain Jesus himself, separated from those who were using Jesus to improve their own kingdom. I want to have a great kingdom. Jesus might be able to help me with that. That is your attitude, then you won't hear these parables right. You can't hear these parables without being faced with an immediate response to Jesus himself. So let me ask you this morning, what is your standard of measure by which you will listen to this Jesus? In other words, how do you listen to this Jesus? To what degree will you search out his teaching for understanding? Are you responding to Jesus based upon your present understanding of who he is? What he's come to do? Are you saying, this is what the Bible teaches and I need to walk in this? Or do you find yourself responding carelessly? Neglecting even a response? Maybe you're preoccupied or you're distracted, and so you're hearing Jesus, but you're not really listening to Jesus. He tells you here, there is a blessing and a cursing to those who have poor hearing. It only produces greater poverty in your life. To those who have a productive hearing, a careful hearing, it produces greater fruitfulness in your life. You know people. You know people who have taken some time to hear. Maybe they've come to church, but they never really had an interest, and now they're gone. They came for a moment, but they weren't listening to Jesus. They were only hearing words about Him. There's something worse. There are other kinds of neglectful hearers too. There are also those people who you may know who are studious people. They loved to study the Bible. They were zealous about knowing God and His Word. They would try and memorize large portions of Scripture. You would consider their knowledge to be incredible, even maybe surpassing your knowledge of the Bible. And yet something in their life derailed them. They got fatigued, distracted, bored. They had learned it all. There was nothing else to learn, maybe, they thought. You know what their problem was? They weren't listening to Jesus. They weren't seeking communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, but they were only seeking information from Jesus. Because they needed, they thought, God's truth in order to build and to develop and to promote their own kingdom. That is our big problem. So we still want to live in our own kingdom. And it will even prevent us from hearing and listening to this Jesus. Your friend, your acquaintance, they didn't have the root in Jesus Christ to abide in Him, to live in Him. And so even what they had was taken from them. That incredible knowledge, gone. Maybe you feel as though you are in danger of that today. Well, let me encourage you to stop hearing and start listening to this Jesus. Stop letting the words go in one ear and out the other, but start listening to who this Jesus Christ is. Start hearing Him calling you and respond to Him the way that you are supposed to. Are you listening for mere information? Are you more concerned about getting your notes to match my manuscript? Or are you hearing this Jesus Christ, this Savior, calling you to Himself? To repent and believe. To come into communion with Him. To be reconciled with the true and living God of the universe. To receive forgiveness of sins. And fullness of life. Jesus Christ is building a kingdom, and He's calling you to respond to His invitation to come to Him. Well, I think we're going to look at the other two parables next week. Let me say something about what we've heard so far. Jesus Christ came to reveal His kingdom. And He's telling you that you need to actually hear Him, listen to Him. Today, we saw baptism. And that's what sacraments are. They serve as visible parables to us in which the mysteries of the kingdom are revealed to us. We see a sign. Today, a little girl had water sprinkled upon her head. But if we don't look to what's being signified in that sign, then we will not hear the message of the gospel of the kingdom. You see, we need to look at this baptism with eyes of faith, seeing and hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not only what we see outwardly. To those who look with faith, they see the mysteries of the kingdom. I skipped that portion about improving upon your own baptism because I wanted to talk about it here. You are to improve upon your own baptism. That is, you are to look at this baptism, consider what it signifies, and use it as a means of you considering what you need and how you are to respond to this Jesus Christ. What does this baptism signify? Well, this baptism tells us that we need to be united to Jesus Christ in His death and resurrection. It tells us that we need to have our guilt and corruption of sin cleansed, removed from us by the blood of Jesus. We need to be born from above by the Spirit of God, signified by water. We need to be adopted to come out of the world and come into God's kingdom as a child of God. We need to be resurrected unto everlasting life. And today we're looking at this. This looks like an insignificant event for an unknown infant. But Jocelyn wears the gospel now. We said she was already. She already had an interest in the covenant of grace just by her birth. She was already considered set apart because she was born to covenant parents. But Jocelyn needs all that is signified in this baptism. She didn't receive it with the water. She can only receive it through faith in Christ Jesus. She needs the whole process from death to eternal life. Today we have seen a little girl visibly entered into the church. And so as her family, and I don't just mean the Cunninghams, as her family, you've taken promises upon yourself. Promises upon yourself to sow seeds into her life, to water this word, to pray for her, as you promised to pray for all the covenant children of this congregation. We've seen a visible parable this day. Are you listening to what you've seen? Are you hearing Jesus speak in this baptism? He's calling you as well to believe on the need to be cleansed and washed and united to Him. Well, Jesus came to reveal His kingdom. How are you listening? Are you hearing with care? Are you meditating upon His Word, that is, talking to yourself about the Word of God in His presence? Jesus gave us pictures of His kingdom to reveal who He is and what He has accomplished for those in need, including you. You must respond by faith, both hearing His Word and entering into His kingdom by His grace. Amen.